on that's muted. If it's off, it's unmuted.
Oh, thank you. Praise the Lord. Well, tonight we come to chapter 6. I think we have to, otherwise we won't go. We won't finish. We have to take an express train from now on. Well, it's very important the Lord open the scroll with 6 seals there. And the 6th seal, the 7th seal are 7 trumpets. And the 7th trumpet is the last bowl, the end of God's judgment. Right, the end of the mystery of God. So right now, let's take a look at the 6th seal. The first 4 seals is amazing because the 4 living creatures were mentioned. But after that, no more. It didn't mention about the 4 living creatures because there are 4 living creatures, only 4. Right. No 5th. But it's very interesting to see that when this seal was opened, first of all, God is showing us what is happening in this world after the Lord ascended. Right. Remember, they asked the Lord Jesus, what are the signs? What is the first sign the Lord told them? It's going to be war and rumor of war. So you can see the second horse is a red horse. It's a horse of war. Right. The one who sat on it kills. But let us just take a quick look in chapter 6. The first horse is a white horse. Why is it the Lord used the word, the sign of horses? What do horses do when you see all the 4 horses are running? It's a horse race, right? It's a race. The horse will not just stand there. Horse with riders, they are running a race. Many of the Christian Bible teachers, they all say the first horse, the white horse, is the Antichrist, the false Christ. But it cannot be. Because all throughout the book of Revelation, white is a very positive color. It's a very positive color. Just like, for example, in the 5th seal, those martyrs, what did the Lord give them? Black robe? Oh, red robe? Green robes? What? White. So they must be part of the Antichrist. No, definitely not. White is very positive. It's a reward. Actually, it's the work of God. Even those overcoming ones in Sardis, what robe did the Lord give them to wear? To walk with him in white. And then the Lord told the church in Laodicea, come and buy gray robes from me. Huh? White. This is the white, pure garment. And what about a garment of the bride in the book of Revelation? Huh? White? So. It's all very positive. And then in chapter 19, the army of the Lord, also wearing what? And the horses also white? So it cannot be that a white horse here is a bad horse. Right. You sing the Lord. If it is really the horse of the Antichrist, the beast, it's going to be a white horse? No, it's going to be a super, super black one. No. Right. These four horses are running a race going on. That means they keep on going on until the Lord comes. They don't stop. So the first horse in the book of Acts, after the Lord ascended to the throne, what did he do? What was the first thing that happened in the book of Acts? Did the Lord tell his disciples to wait in Jerusalem and watch for the red horse running? Or the pale horse? The black horse? What was the first thing shown? Praise the Lord. In this world, the only thing that is very positive, the only positive thing in this world today is the white horse. It's the work of God. Right? And the Lord told them to wait. In Jerusalem, the Lord poured out His Spirit. And it started, Peter started, and preached the gospel, the word of God. And in one day, how many got saved? 3,000. And the second day, 5,000. Oh, wow, that horse is really running and conquering and victorious. And victorious. That was the first horse that was released. The work of God, the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right. And the one sitting on that horse has a crown given to him. The Lord is victorious. He's a conquering king. And he's making us more than what? Conquerors. Conquerors. So, which horse are you betting on? Which horse? The red horse? Well, Biden is riding on a red horse. All these politicians are riding on a red horse and a black horse. And Fauci is riding on a gray horse, the pale horse. No. Killing people with sickness, with all kinds of viruses. All kinds of ways to kill people. Remember, Satan is a liar and a killer. He's a murderer from the very beginning. The first thing that Satan did is to kill Abel. Cain is a killer. Right. So all the other three horses are not positive. But the first horse, and the second horse is the red horse, war. The history of mankind is a history of war. You love history? What did you learn from history? Huh? War. Huh? And killing. Right. This is the history of the world. Even in China, the history of China is a history of war from the very beginning. Right. All kinds of government, all forms of government, there's a war. Right. And the war never stops. And now look what they're promoting, the war in Ukraine. And everybody is trying to get involved in the war. My goodness, do you want to get involved in the war? We never learn, right? about half a century ago. Right? The war just ended. And now they're going to start another war. No, they're talking about WW3. And they're so eager to do it. Warmongers. They don't care if you die. They really don't care. They just want to conquer the world and rule over the world. These people don't care. Right. And the second horse is the black horse. Black horse. The third horse. Sorry. The third horse is a black horse. And that black horse is an economic horse. Money-making horse. Economy is a big thing in the world. Number one is war. Number two is economy. And if you have a lot of money, you make more wars. These people are warmongers. They like to fight, they like to kill, they like to rule over the others. War never stops. Yeah, you let those people continue. Goodness, they are talking already about a world war and they're investing money. Right? War. They just, goodness, you know. Satan is a murderer from the very beginning, right? Yeah. So you have that horse there of the red one and then the black horse. The whole world today, it's all about money, right? You want money? What for? To make more wars. Actually, war is also a money-making business. Yeah. Right. And then the sickness. Finally, the world woke up to know what the word pharmacy means. Yeah, they're talking about now, pharmacy means sorcery. All of a sudden, they finally realize the word pharmakeia in Greek means sorcery. So all this medicine made in sorcery factories, killing people. You're in the wrong business, George. Oh, good. You think they're helping you. They create a sickness so that they can buy their medicine. Isn't it? Why did they invent this pandemic? Yes, to sell the vaccine and then to kill people. This is what Bill Gates says openly in the newspaper. The best way to depopulate the world is by vaccination. Can you imagine? They want to reduce the world population to 500 million and let the elite rule over these people. So all the other three horses, it's actually the history of the world. Satan is in the business of killing people, and they lie to you. Yeah. This is what happens. This is what is happening today. The World Economic Forum, my goodness. Are they really for the economy? Right. It's amazing. The Lord must open our eyes to see this is what the world really is doing. Of course, you see many other things, but these are the three main horses in the world. But praise the Lord, there is a positive horse.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Which horse are you following? David, which horse?
White.
Choose a color. You have four colors to choose. Better make the right choice. Then he opened the fifth seal. And nobody had to make that announcement. Isn't that wonderful? The rest of the seal, no one has to make the announcement. There must be a certain reason why. Right. Because the fifth seal has already been happening a long time ago, beginning with Abel. Abel was the first martyr. His blood is still crying out to God. Yeah. Right. And the Lord Jesus, his blood speaks better things than that of Abel. So when this seal was opened, it is actually a positive seal. Praise the Lord. So let us look especially at this wonderful fifth seal. I saw under the altar was mentioned here. The altar is just like the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, where he was martyred, he was crucified. The altar is the place of offerings. And these martyrs were offered up. It's wonderful. And the Lord specially remembers them. They are a special people in the eyes of the Lord. And when the fifth seal was opened, I saw the altar. And under the altar, the souls of those who had been slain in war. No. Why were they killed? The word of God and for the testimony which they held. Remember that in chapter 1? John, the faithful servant of the Lord, was in the island of Patmos having a nice vacation. He took a cruise there. People go to Patmos today for a cruise. Right? But they were martyred there. Yeah. John was martyred for the word of God and for the testimony which they held, the testimony of Jesus. Remember, we mentioned that right in the beginning. Not just for the word of God. Speaking is easy. But being the living testimony is hard. Right. So we shouldn't just be speaking the word of God and giving a message, but to be those who have the testimony of Jesus wherever we are. The word of God and the testimony of Jesus. If you just have the word, nobody's going to kill you. Not worth that. Not worthwhile. But if you have the testimony of Jesus, the reality, you lived it out. One with God. They will hate you for it. The Lord did a lot of wonderful things expressing God when he was on this earth. The more he did, the more they hated him. And they were jealous of him. Yeah. So they have been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And I hope that we are all impressed with this matter. Okay? Right. The word and the testimony. Yeah. And they cried. They cried out with a loud voice to God and said, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Right. The Lord is going to avenge for them, definitely. There's no doubt about that. But the Lord told them, wait, right? To them, firstly, white rope was given to each one of them that assures them that they're going to make it to the kingdom. Just like the few in Sardis who walked with God, and the Lord gave them the white rope. Yeah. So wonderful. Right. And it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer. Well, 2,000 years for us is a long time, right? But to the Lord, it's just a little while. A little while longer. Just wait. Yeah. Until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren, who would be killed as they were, was completed. You see, the Lord is also waiting for the completion of the number, not of believers, but of martyrs. It doesn't mean that the Lord doesn't count how many believers. Well, today people like to have MAGA churches, or not MAGA, sorry, MEGA. You notice I live here in the States, right? And that's why. Mega churches. They like the numbers. But the Lord counted differently. The Lord has a different way of counting. He appreciates not only those who believe him, but those who follow the Lamb. Now you know why in Revelation chapter 14 you have only 144,000. You mean to say there are only 144,000 believers on this earth today? How many believers today, Jasper? About? A couple of billions. Right? Especially if you count the Catholics. But how many martyrs are there? How many are willing to lay down their soul and life for God's plan and purpose? We like to come to the meeting, but we don't like to lay down our life for God's plan and purpose. Martyrs are those who gave their life for God's plan, to be one with God. Yeah. These are the martyrs. Praise the Lord. Right. And the Lord is waiting until the number of the martyrs will be complete. Well, it doesn't mean that you want to be killed. Do you want to be killed in Toronto? No. But you need to put your soul life to death. To deny yourself. To deny yourself. Put to death the deeds of the body. Paul says, "I have been crucified with Christ." Yeah. We are here practicing to put ourselves to death. Yeah. You don't have to be martyred today. Nobody's going to kill you if you live a testimony in Toronto, right? Who's going to kill you? Nobody wants to kill you. So who's going to kill you? How can you be a martyr today, Sarah? Don't commit suicide, okay? That's not being a martyr. But you put to death the flesh. Deny your soul life. Pick up your cross and follow the Lord Jesus. Yeah, afflict your soul. Keep the feast. Right? Which feast to keep? The Day of Atonement. To be one with God. To be fully reconciled to God. Meaning to say, you lay down your soul life for the brothers, for the church, for the Lord's testimony. That's the way to do it. Because nobody's going to kill you unless you go where?
Dubai.
To Dubai. Or to Iran and shout on the street, Jesus is Lord, He's the King. He's the ruler here in Iran. Okay. Maybe somebody will take your life. Well, you don't have to do that. That is not being a martyr. Yeah. Right. So, now we are looking in chapter 12. The sixth seal is going to be open in our time.
Verse 12.
Oh, did I say chapter 12? I'm sorry. I'm very eager to finish the book of Revelation. Verse 12. I looked when he opened a sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake. Many, many earthquakes are happening today, smaller ones. But they are preparing for a great one. Right? Especially here in California. Right? The people are already warning that a great one is coming. What about in Yellowstone? What about a volcano right there? Mount St. Helens, right? In that area. Right. And even in the Philippines. Right, a volcano. One of the strongest volcano starting to erupt. These are signs warning us. Don't think it's okay. Even in Iceland. And look at in Italy, in the southern part of Italy. Right. Things are happening everywhere. You get reports everywhere, small earthquake here and there. Don't underestimate them. Right. Earthquake is a sign to warn us that even the earth is angry. Because people living on this earth are destroying this earth. You think the earth will not be angry, right? Romans 8 says the whole creation is groaning. So, great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair. The moon became like blood. The stars in heaven fell to the earth. Wow. Stars falling to the earth. As a fig tree drops its late figs, when it's shaken by a mighty wind. So many places now, you see a lot of change in the weather, storms and strange weather reports everywhere. Yep. So, And then every mountain and every island was moved out of its place. Oh, it's scary. It is really scary. But only if it happens, then people will wake up and realize, somebody up there is angry now. Otherwise, nobody thinks about it. Right. And then it's reported here, and the kings of the earth and great men, rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, they were firstly mentioned. Because these people thought they are so great, nothing will happen to them. And then every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains. How many places can you go to hide yourself? That's perhaps the more dangerous place if the rocks fall on you. But that's what they wanted to tell the rocks to fall on them. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. It's a bit too late. They didn't believe today, but in that day when things happen like that, whether they want to or not, they have to believe, they know. Right. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? You think you can stand? Nobody can stand. Think about this. And we are assured that these things will happen, and even in our time, because of the many signs now that shows us and prove to us that it's going to happen. Right? Now, how come chapter 6 only ended in 6 seals? How many seals are there? Okay. So let's go to chapter 7. After these things, I saw 4 angels standing in the 4 corners of the earth. Right. The 4 corners. North, south, east, west. 4 corners. That's why people believe at that time the earth is flat. How can a ball have corners, right? Holding the 4 winds of the earth, that a wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. They're ready to release for a 7th seal to be opened. But then, in verse 2, I saw another angel coming down, or ascending from the east, right, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the 4 angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, and of course, in all the living creatures on earth. Right. This is definitely related to the first 4 angels who are ready to blow the trumpets. But this angel came down and say what? Not yet. Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And this sealing was upon the Jews, 144,000, 12,000 per tribe. So, the opening of the 7th seal was delayed. Otherwise, they were already there, ready to let go and to start. The angels were there ready. Can you imagine that? Right. So, The sealing took place. I don't know how long it takes to seal 144,000. How long do you think it'll take? It depends on who is sealing, right? It should take a little while. And there is a purpose also for the Lord to wait a little while, just a little while, not too long. Right. So we have a chart, right? Can we put a chart on the wall?
Yes.
I think at this point, let us just take a look at the chart. Yes, surely they are living here on the earth, because it's happening on this earth. The sealing must be on this earth, and they must still be alive, otherwise you cannot seal the dead ones. You're sealing 144,000, and this 144,000 are going to be preserved during the time of the 3.5 years, when a great day of God's wrath begins. Do we have that on, right? Nope. Ah, good. Here it comes. Can you enlarge it? Enlarge. But anyway, you have a copy with you. Oh, yeah, there you are. Right. Right. We don't have a stick, do we? Huh? Oh, okay. No need of it. I'll just point to it. Oh, yeah, there it is. Right. Here, you can see in Revelation chapter 7, there is the sealing of 144,000 right here. 144,000. Thank you. That's good enough. Yeah. 144,000 right here. Oh. Thank you. You can put it up again. It's not to beat somebody. It's not a rather violent. No. It's hollow, okay? Here, in chapter 7, there's a delay. A temporary stop. Because something important is going to happen. Something very positive is going to happen in this time. So before the seventh seal is open, between the sixth and the seventh seal, there's a little pause there. A short period of time to pause. What happened during this time? The sealing of 144,000. Right? That's the first thing that you can see right here, the sealing of 144,000. And then you have the second thing in chapter 7. John saw the multitude standing before the throne. That means they're raptured. The Jews were not raptured. They were on this earth. Right? But they are sealed. The Lord is going to protect them when they go through the last 3.5 years. Right? But then the multitude raptured, it doesn't mean that it's all the Christians were raptured. That's what a Christian believes today. But no, according to the book of Revelation, who will be raptured? Only two groups of people. And then later, the late ones. But the main two groups of people raptured at this time are the first fruits and the man-child. The man-child is now raptured. If you ask John, how did you know? John said, I saw them, they're up there. John saw them. So that means at this time when the sealing was going on, the resurrection took place. That means if the man-child is raptured at this time, that means the resurrection of the woman happened at this time. Otherwise, where did the man-child come from? So, to understand this multitude, you need to go to Revelation chapter 12. That is why we say Revelation chapters 11 to 20 are complementary details of the events in Revelation 7 to 10. If you see this, then you will not be confused. But you just have to know that these two chapters, the rapture of the first fruits and the rapture of the man-child, happen in Revelation chapter 7. And if the man-child is raptured at this time, that means the woman is resurrected. So you need to join chapter 12 with this rapture, the multitude, because it happens exactly at that time. So you can see that during this period of pause, Revelation chapter 12, the event is happening. Yeah, immediately when a man-child was raptured to the throne, war started in heaven. It's not going to be 4 years or 5 years of war. No, no, no. When the angels, they fight the war, it's very quick. No weapons, no bombs, nothing. Michael, right? The archangels leading the good angels fighting against the dragon. And surely the fight will just be very quick. Right? They fight quite different than these people fighting on this earth. How many years are they fighting now in Ukraine? 3 years already, right? Almost 3 years, and it's still ongoing. And nobody could stop it. And you think when Michael fighting with a dragon and their army is there in the heavens, it'll take 3 or 4 years? No. Maybe a few days. So quick. Because this period of time here, between sixth seal and the seventh seal here, seal number 7, it's just a short period of time, it's not a long time. But it's enough time for Satan to be cast down. The man-child is up, and the woman will have a hard time at that time with a dragon around trying to hurt that woman and swallow that woman and kill that woman. But the woman is in the status of resurrection. Satan cannot touch her. So the Lord prepared a place in the wilderness and brought her there. And the earth helped the woman by opening up the mouth and swallowed up the flood coming out of the mouth of the dragon. So the dragon couldn't do anything. So if we go to Revelation chapter 12, John, would you read it to us? Now we're in Revelation 12.
Okay, chapter 12, verse 1. Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then, being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven, behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child or a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and his throne.
Amen.
Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him.
All this happening in chapter 12 took place right at this time. You can see the man-child was raptured. Right? In chapter 14, the first fruits was also raptured. And dragon was cast down. And he started to persecute and try to persecute those who have the testimony of Jesus and those who keep the commandments of the Lord. That means the Jews and the believers, those Christians who were left behind. And the woman escaped to the wilderness and to be nourished there for 1,260 days, all the three and a half years. Right? Now, you can see, if you join these two parts here to here, then it's very easy for you to understand. God wrote the book of Revelation in such a way, right, because these are very special events. Otherwise, if it's written right here, chapter 7, will be a long chapter. Right? And it will be very confusing. So, God in his wisdom wrote in this way. Right? If you see the multitude here, the throne is up there, we know not all Christians will be raptured. Because the woman is not raptured. If all Christians would be raptured, the woman should have been raptured. How come the woman was not here at the throne, but in the wilderness? And how come the dragon can still make war with the rest of her offsprings on this earth? So now we just cover Revelation chapter 12. Praise the Lord. I think we can still finish the book of Revelation. Right. If you put it together here, you can see. But the point is this. We who are living today on this earth, especially seeing what's happening and seeing that Trump is re-elected, and he would definitely help Netanyahu and the Jews to resume the offerings and the oblation. Because it has to be. Because in the second half of the last 7 years, the first sign and the main sign is that a beast will stop the offerings. So, meaning to say, the offering must have started before he could do that, right? So who is going to help the Jews start, if not the President of the United States, Mr. Trump? He is 100% for the Jews, for the Jewish nation. And especially he appointed an ambassador, Huckabee. And Huckabee made another hat. Says, build Israel great again. And he said he's going to give Trump that hat. Wow. And then the Secretary of Defense, Hegseth, strongly and bravely said, There's no reason why the Jews cannot build the holy temple on the Temple Mount. That means even he will help. Because these two points are very important. In the second part of the last 7 years, the first part is that the offerings and the oblation will be caused to cease. The beast will stop it. Of course he will. Right? And the second point, written in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, which we read before, the second sign is that the beast will enter into the temple. He will be the abomination of desolation, proclaiming himself to be God. And that will bring a total disaster and desolation decreed by God. So these are the two signs. And these two signs are related, firstly, the resuming of the offerings. Right? And the Jews are really itching to do it. They would have done it, except war broke out. And nobody was supporting them. Who's supporting the Jews, the Jewish nation? Nobody. Nobody. But now, this president returned. You see the coin, right? Oh, the coin. They're gone. No more. No need. If you have seen it, you have seen it. Blessed are those who saw it. Netanyahu and Trump together in one coin. This is really amazing. This is truly amazing. You can't believe. Those coins are prophetic. It is not just a coin, a normal coin. Right? So, after the inauguration in January 20, the Jews will be very happy. This might be one of the first things that Trump will do to help the Jews, and they will be emboldened to do it. Because now they have the support of the United States and the U.S. Army. And who dares to make war now against the Jews? So these two things are going to happen. Firstly, the offerings is going to be done. It's going to start. And secondly, the rebuilding of the holy place, the sanctuary, is going to be built. But not for God. God is not going to dwell there. But we know who is going to dwell there. Right? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, the beast will enter into the temple and declare himself to be God. But if the temple is not built, which temple? He's not going to come to Fountain Valley or to Germany. Definitely he's not going to go to the Dome on the Rock. He's going to enter into the temple and proclaim himself to be that abomination of desolation. Right. A better translation is abomination that causes desolation. Just like at the time of Titus. When Titus came entering into that temple, right, it was an abomination that brought a total destruction. Terrible. Right? So, this is going to happen. This is really going to happen here. And we are going to see it. But we're going to see the desolation and a total destruction from above, hopefully, if we are qualified. If we are here, the multitude, part of the multitude above, then we will see it in a different angle from above. It's better to see it up there, right? Instead of seeing it down here. Right. So praise the Lord, right? If we see this wonderful chart here, it will help us to understand the book of Revelation. Right. What can I say? Right. So, just to review it again, let us go to the outline in chapter 4, right? I'm page 4, the last part. Right. Yeah. Right. The updated translation. The updated translation. Right. In the half part of the week, I'll just read that part, yeah. The sacrifice and oblation, the meal offering, right, will be terminated. And in the temple, there shall be an abomination of desolation until the decreed end is poured out on the desolator. Right. So, praise the Lord for that. Right? And we wrote down a little comment in the next page, down below. The last week. Let's just talk about the last week, because now we are in the last week. Right? The last week. The reason why, after Christ was crucified, the seventh week did not begin right away because of the new covenant time. There was a mystery hidden in the past. Nobody knew it at that time. So we have this age of the new covenant. And Israel was gone, so the last week, how can the last week be fulfilled? There's not even an Israel anymore. But in 1948, the nation of Israel was reborn. And then 1967 is another very important time. And then we see Trump starting that covenant with many, the Abrahamic Accord. And now he is the president again. So his job is not done yet. It's going to be done now. So we have to believe and know and see and understand that the second half of the week is approaching. So what Trump is going to do, very, very important, and we're going to see this, is to help the Jews to resume the offerings. This is what we shared here, right? The second sign, the signs regarding the second half of the last week, number one is the termination of the sacrifices and oblation. Because the beast is going to do that. He hates it. And then the abomination of desolation in the temple. That means the beast is going into the temple to declare himself to be God there. So, this indicates that two things must be done sometime before the second half of the week. Right. So, after the inauguration, we're going to see something very exciting, and very soon, believe it or not, it doesn't matter. Right? So, the beginning of the offering of the sacrifices by the Jews will happen soon after the inauguration. And then the rebuilding of the so-called third temple, the sanctuary. In order to take a look at the sanctuary, the building, let us go to chapter 11, Revelation chapter 11. Yeah. Revelation chapter 11 is talking about God sending the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah. Not you, Mo. Okay, don't worry. Right. And before God showed John the two witnesses, why did he have to mention this? In verse 1 and 2, right? Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, like this one, a measuring rod. Right. And the angel stood and saying, "Rise, John, and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there." So just measure that part. But leave out the court which is outside the temple. Sorry, outside the temple. Don't measure it. That means when they build this third temple, they're not going to build a big one like Solomon Temple. No, they're just going to build the sanctuary, the holy place. That's all. And it's very quick and it's very fast. Why do you think the Lord mentioned that? Because everybody is talking about rebuilding of the third temple, and it's going to be so elaborate, so big, and so nice, and you have to tear down everything, right? No, it's not going to be like that. Just the altar, and then the holy place, and that's it. Very easy and very simple. So, during this time, you can see Mr. T will help them. It will be done. Just wait and see, okay? Be patient. We're going to witness that. And if you see that happening, you know you don't have time. You don't have time left. Yeah. You won't have time left. Because right after chapter 12, you will have chapter 13. Right. We will go there later when you see the seventh seal opened. In chapter 8, and then chapter 9, which is related to chapter 13 there. Right, you can see, right? Yeah. So if you go to chapter 9, the 3.5 years begin, the fifth trumpet, the sixth trumpet, then you will have to read these chapters to understand what is going to happen during that time. Okay? Is it clear? Hopefully. At this point, do you have any questions or anything you'd like to add a little bit?
Me?
Yeah. Why not?
Well, it sounds like it's... we mentioned before that the temple... Well, we know that the temple took 40 years to build the second one, right? Somehow they would have to first destroy the Dome of the Rock, and then
build the second temple very quickly. But then if it says here that the outer court is trampled by the Gentiles,
right,
then how are they going to have the sacrifices if it's trampled underfoot?
Oh, no problem. That trampled underfoot will happen after it all happens, after the temple. So that means, sorry, let me, can you hear me? Yeah? Okay. That means when they start to build the temple, right, after Trump was inaugurated, I'm sorry, I have better stand on this side, right? They're not going to build a big temple. No, they don't need to. And they're not going to. And it's not necessary to destroy the Dome of the Rock. It's not necessary. First of all, that temple, that sanctuary that they're going to build is not for God. God is not going to dwell there. It's for the beast. Paul said that very clearly. The beast will enter in. And then after the beast entered in, everything will be destroyed. And you have to realize the present Pope, the Catholic Pope, he started the Abrahamic family. It's called the Abrahamic house, where all the three monotheistic religion will be together, because we're all related, he said. We're all children of Abraham. The Christians have Abraham as their father of faith. And the Jews, Abraham is the father of Isaac. And Abraham is also the father of Ishmael, the Arabs. So they're all brothers, so why can't we all worship together? So in Abu Dhabi, they built three wonderful shrine or building. One for the Jews, one for the Muslim, one for the Christian. They all exist nicely together. It's already there. You can go and take a look. You want to have some vacation? Go to Abu Dhabi. It's already functioning. And that is only the beginning, and their goal is to do the same thing everywhere. Also, if they're going to do the same thing everywhere, why not also in Jerusalem? And you don't need a big temple, no. Right. The holy place and holy of holies, you just need a smaller place. They already have everything ready in the Temple Institute. It's just like a prefab house, only now you have a prefab sanctuary. Very simple. And the altar is already there. It just takes a couple of hours to transport it to the right spot, to the spot where they want to have it. Right. So you don't need too much space. You don't need a big space. And it's not for God anyway. God is not going to move in like when Solomon built the temple, the glory of God came in and filled the temple. Or, right, when it was rebuilt, then the glory of God came in again and filled the temple. But no, it's only the temple of Ezekiel. When the Lord returns, right, then it's going to be rebuilt, but it's going to be a very different temple. A very different temple. That will be the throne of God to rule in the millennial kingdom, and even, he says, forever. My throne is going to be here forever. So, right, but this one that's going to be built there is not for God. It's built as a sign. And the sign shows that the abomination of desolation will enter in there. That is what that temple is for. To show us that the end is there at hand. It has a very, very different purpose of building the temple. Of course, they think it's for God. They think it's for God. Right. But, well, let's wait and see how they're going to do it. But they're going to do it one way or another. And I really don't care how they do it. Just do it. They're going to do it. If you're going to do it, just do it. Because it's not for God, it's not for the worship, right? But it is for the abomination of desolation. That's what it's for. So it doesn't matter how they do it. If they want to tear down the dome, it's up to them. But it's really not necessary. Not necessary. Remember the Abrahamic house. This is a very important, a crucial point that will solve some difficult problems. But the strange thing is that in 1999, I was in Zurich at that time, and we were talking about the Lord's coming because it's Y2K, and we thought, why? Maybe the Lord is coming very soon at that time. And then we were talking about Jerusalem, about the building of the temple. What a building of the temple hasn't even started yet. So what's going to happen? What's the solution? And in the course of fellowship, something just came to our mind. Well, maybe someone like the Pope will suggest that we are all brothers anyway. Abraham is our father, and Abraham is the father of the Jews, and Abraham is the father of the Arabs. So why not all the three brothers make peace and worship together in Jerusalem? Well, you have Christian cathedral in Jerusalem already, quite a few of them. And you have, of course, the Dome of the Rock. The only one that's missing is the Temple of the Jews. You know, and lo and behold, a couple of months later, that Polish Pope went to visit the mosque. And this is exactly what he said, we are all brothers. We have the same father. Why don't we worship together? We have the same father. Right? We are very closely related. And it's the only three monotheistic religion in the world. Wow! That's what the Pope says. And now this Pope is using that. He doesn't care about God. Right? This present Pope Francis. Right? So who knows what they're going to do? But whatever happened, it is not for God. It is to end this age. So whatever they do, let them do it. God will let them do it. Even for a beast to enter into the temple, God is not going to stop him. Say, hey, no, 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 that's my temple, okay? Off limit for a beast. No, God is not going to say that. Right. It's the exact opposite. It's built for you, please. Go ahead. You're welcome to end the age that is built specifically for you to enter in. And then the desolation will come. So don't worry how it's going to be. but it's going to be happening in our time. Okay? Don't be surprised when it happens. Right? Sarah, when you see things happening, you say, oh yeah, we heard that. Oh yeah, we talk about that. It's written in Daniel chapter 9 and in the book of Revelation. The whole scriptures talk about it. And now it's playing out before our eyes. Right. And that will help us just to focus on the right thing. It doesn't mean that you give up anything. It doesn't mean that James, don't go to college anymore, okay, stay home. No, it doesn't mean that. But whatever you're doing, that's not your plan and purpose. That's not your goal. Right. It is helpful. You learn some things there. It trains you, your character, discipline. Right. You still need that, which is good. Right. Get your A's, okay? Not F's. At least A or B or C is okay, right? But that's not your goal. Your goal is to do all things through Christ. Even you study through the Lord and with the Lord. And you study for the Lord. And you're there for the testimony of Jesus. You're there in the office for your work, right? You have a lot of opportunities. Your colleague, even your boss, your manager heard the gospel, right? Yeah. That's very good. So don't quit. It's a good gospel opportunity. Right? You meet a lot of people at the university. What for? To share Christ with them. Pray, Lord, who should I talk to? Right? Just like Philip. The Lord sent him to the wilderness to preach to the eunuch. Just one. That's good. You think it's worth it? Yes, for God, it's worth it. If you can just gain one, it's worth it. It's worth it. You don't have to gain 100. If you can just gain one that is fully for the Lord there, you tell the Lord, Lord, which one? Which one do you choose? And that's very good. Right. So, praise the Lord. Right. Whatever we do it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for the glory of God our Father. That's it. Don't quit your job. Praise the Lord. Right. Continue. Right. You will find many opportunities. And if you're fired, the Lord has something else for you. Right? Everything is prepared by God for a purpose. Now, so that you'll have more time for the Lord, for the saints. And the Lord needs that too. If everybody is so busy, goodness, then we have no time to do the will of God. Especially now, the time is so short. So wherever the Lord places you, be a testimony there. Amen. For the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus, even in apple. Don't just eat apples there. Okay? Praise the Lord. Because the time is near. For us, that word is very, very, what, up-to-date, actuel. It will happen now in our time. We're going to see it. We're going to experience it. Real time. Of course, it takes a little while to see the real time. But we are in a process. We're seeing things happening according to the Word, according to what the Lord has revealed to us. Right? I don't care if somebody hates Trump, if everybody hates him, somebody likes him. Whether you like him or you don't like him, it doesn't really matter. Because it's not about him. It is about God's plan and God's purpose. Right. So don't think we are pro-Trump. No. We are not pro anyone. We are pro-God. We are for the fulfillment of God's plan. And this is why we are reading this wonderful book of Revelation. And this is why we need to understand why there is a pause here in chapter 7. And why the pause here? That means when the sixth seal is opened, the resurrection of God's people takes place. And at the same time, the rapture of the man-child and the rapture of the first fruits will take place in this time here. And it's very soon. Seal 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 is already open, okay? So if you ask me when is the sixth seal going to be open, I can only tell Shirley soon. It is soon. Shirley, it's soon. So soon. It's going to be so very soon. This is what you need to know, and this is why we are looking at this. And at that time, not only we will know, the whole world will know. The great day of God's wrath is coming and approaching. Whether you believe in God, you don't believe in God, it doesn't matter anymore. It's too late anyway. Right? It's too late. So you need to go home and read this chapter, because this chapter is connected to this chapter. And then the first part of Revelation chapter 14 is also related to this chapter. That part, especially in the rapture of the believers, to be up there before the throne of God. Okay? Praise the Lord. We just finished chapter 6 and chapter 12. Amen. Let's have some prayer.
Well, if we know that the Lord is coming soon, what are we going to do, right? We need to be wise, not to be foolish, to ask the Lord to help us prepare.
Amen.
Help every house. It shouldn't be so hard for the weak and not weak. You know, we have such a wonderful Christ. Help us, support us. So don't be frustrated. Have faith in God.
Amen.
The Lord is showing us all this wonderful thing in the vision. It's not to scare you, but it is to encourage you. Right? If you know things that are happening, you should be prepared. If you know next week there's going to be water shortage in California, what are you going to do? Oh, you better stack up some water. Don't be so scared you don't know what to do. No, you just go to Costco and get some more water and stack up some water. Do something, right? Do something to prepare. The Lord knows how to preserve His people. In that coin it says, the keeper of Israel will not slumber nor will sleep. He will preserve our soul from all evil, keep our foot from being moved,
and he will preserve our going out and our coming in and all of our activities. Yeah. Well, if you have such a wonderful Christ, why are you afraid? Right? Everybody in Zoom there, they agreed? Yeah.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. No reason to be afraid. But if we don't do anything, then we are really foolish. Oh, the mic. The mic is here, right? Yeah.
Still cannot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not loud enough? Oh, it should be loud enough. They heard me, right?
But the trans back of the room can't.
Oh, back in the room. Yeah, I'm sorry. Next time you can sit in the front. Right. So it is good to know. It's not for us to be afraid. Right. Many believers today are afraid to read Revelation because they said it's scary, like watching a horror movie. No, it's not a horror movie. It is a real happening, real events that will take place. But hey, the Lord will save us. It's good to know, right? We need to thank the Lord for showing us, even the details. Even the Lord showed us why there is a pause in chapter 7 and what's going to happen and why. So we need to be prepared. Right. Especially today, we have a chance to be part of the first fruits. Not too many, but praise the Lord. What can we say? Of course, I'm sure the Lord prefers to see more, right? But it's not His choice only, it is also our choice. So, praise the Lord. In chapter 7, you see the first fruits, those who overcome, the martyrs, who have the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus and died for it. That means they laid down their life. Right? They're part of the man-child. But we today, praise the Lord, we are alive. We can be raptured to be the first fruits, to follow the Lamb. Right? And today we are seeing more things, learning new songs, being purified, maturing in our spiritual life, being the pure virgins, right, having God's name and the Lord's name printed, inscribed in our foreheads. All of these wonderful things. Yeah. We need to be prepared, learn to be prepared. Why not, right? Just to be afraid will not help you. Right. But to be encouraged, praise the Lord, to redeem the time. Yes. To redeem the time. Time is very precious. We don't have that much time left. Right. Just in a twinkling of an eye, 2024 is about to end. And January 20 is about to begin. Well, isn't it exciting?
Yes.
Is it scary or is it exciting? Praise the Lord. Don't worry, trust in God. We have such a great high priest, the Son of Man walking in our midst to perfect us. Yeah, so...